few books here. The message is not going to be that long. We do serve a big God. He is a God that has created the universe, and he also has created man. And I'm thankful that he is interested in our needs as well as our wants. I think upon myself when I was looking to be saved, I'm thankful that God did put within me a need and also a want. And the Lord met both of them. My need that I need to be saved and my want that the Lord would save me and that he did save me. And so I was found that it was true, like John 3:16 said. So he met my needs and my wants through this scripture. I'd just like to make reference to a prayer of the Lord's. Got it marked out here. It's to do with my reading this evening. I'll be in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 11. And there's a prayer here of Christ's gratitude to God. I'll just read it through, and I'll be speaking on verse 28, 29, and verse 30. And this is an introduction then. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Luke connects this prayer with the return of the 70, chapter 10 and verse 17 to 24 of Luke. However, it may be associated with the return of the 12, whose report greatly cheered the master's heart, Mark 6 and verse 30, and Luke 9 and verse 10. Thanksgiving occurred a large place in the prayer of Christ. The phrase, I thank thee, means I acknowledge with praise and thanksgiving. He knew God to be the one who heard prayer. Chapter 11 and verse 25 that we had just read of Matthew. His was a glad consciousness that his Father's ear was ever open to his cry, and so his prayer was a happy one. Luke 10 and 21. Christ based his prayer on the consciousness of his own unique relationship to his Father and to man. It was thus his prayer for the glory of God and himself. John chapter 17 and verse 1. We too have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Galatians 4 and verse 6. Doubting souls need to be reassured by a sign. Judges chapter 6 and verse 36. The best need no sign, and the bad need look for none. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 39. So I wanted to use that as an introduction to the message. And it's found in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 27, reading on. And it says, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. This is a big God, and yet he is interested in the very detailed things of our life, and he will reveal the details to our life as well. It's one that is in touch with the Father. John said in chapter 3 of 35, the Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things unto his hand. Matthew 28 and 18, all power is given unto me. John 17 and 2, thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. God is the fountain of power. Psalms 62 and 11. He hath committed all power to Christ as mediator. Psalms chapter 2, verse 7 to 9. More particularly, the power of life and eternal salvation. I have quite a few scriptures here, so what I'm doing is just quoting some of the lines, and I'll be reading them rather than thumbing through so many pages. So I'll just continue on with my message then in that manner. As John chapter 17 and 2, he hath the keys of hell and death. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18, and all the means that lead to eternal life are in his power and disposal. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. And no man knoweth his divine essence, his eternal generation, and therefore men are not to listen to what the scribes and Pharisees say of him, but to attend to and to believe what the Father hath revealed from heaven concerning him. Who best knows him, neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son. No man knoweth the essence of the Father or the counsel of the Father as to the dispensations of the gospel, save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. The prophets inquired and searched diligently concerning this salvation, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. That was from 1 Peter 1, verse 10 to 12. The Son is said to know the Father as he is his lively image, the express image of the person, and the brightness of his glory, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Once again, I'm thankful for the revelation of God's Son, that in my need and in my want, God met me. I was not let down. There was nothing to be ashamed of to be found in God's Son. I know in this world there's so many things that let us down, but you know, the assurance of a Savior carries us through many trials and tribulation. And we know that Paul said he gloried in tribulation. We do not look for tribulation in our life, but we do know that we have one that'll see us through trials, tribulations, and so forth. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. It's another verse found in John chapter 14 and verse 9. All our saving knowledge of God in and through Christ. So once again, any knowledge that we do have, there's no boasting within ourselves. It sure takes care of that part of us, because I know before I came to the place of salvation, one of the things was pride that I had to put aside. And faith is quite an exercise, and it deals with that aspect. And I'm thankful once again that taken upon the Lord's yoke on us, the Lord was meek. And that's part of the exercise of being saved, is coming to that place of being meek, as we'll be looking at a little later on. I could read a few scriptures that would bring out some of the strengthening factors of the Lord as well. It's in Isaiah 42. You might want to turn there. There's three portions of scripture in Isaiah. Then I'd like to go to the Lord's invitation to come, which is found from verse 28 on. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 5, 6, and 7. Thus saith God, the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth, and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentile. Here we have one that's nearer than the nearest. To open the blinded eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. It's just what happened when we received the Lord. We came out of darkness. could go to Matthew chapter 11 and look at verse 28. Here we have the Lord's invitation. Come. He is salvation. To obtain it, we must come to Him, for there is no salvation in any other. The loving call we have here of come, the further call of discipleship, in verse 29, and the yoke easy. Verse 28, it says, come, and then there's rest. Take the yoke and learn of Him. This invitation is threefold. It says, come unto me, take my yoke, and learn of me. It invites to rest from the burden of guilt and the servitude of sin. It invites to the submission of faith. Take my yoke. That is to yield yourself to my obedience. It invites to discipleship. Learn of me. For the Lord has three things in view in calling us to Himself. As we can bear witness as well, He has our salvation, our obedience, and our character. You know, we've been doing some Bible study in the book of Romans on our Wednesday evening, and we've been learning about the aspect of character there. I could just make reference. Romans chapter 5, I'd like to read a few verses there. I'd like to read them from the New King James Version, just to compare the thought here from verse 1 to verse 4. And then I'd like to make reference as well to the aspect of grace. It says here, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character. So here the aspect of character that the Lord was interested in, our salvation, our obedience, and our character. Now this tribulation, that's not the tribulation that we'd expect the people of the world are going through. They have their troubles and their times. But our tribulation would be different. That would be standing up for what is right. Because once we've come to know the Lord, our tribulation would be in the respect of standing up for what is right. Because now we know we have come to the light. So anyways, out of this comes character. So sometimes when we go through trials and tribulation, just let us recognize that there is character being made within us. That it is an outworking of God's hand. Paul, he said he gloried in tribulation. I don't think any of us are at that point where we can say we glory in tribulation. I know that it's our body can only bear so much and our testimony as well. But the Lord is interested in the development of our character as well. And it goes on to say in verse 5 here, I'd like to read that one from the King James Standard Version here. Chapter 5 and verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. There once again, we have nothing to be ashamed of when we're in the Lord, because hope maketh not ashamed. There's the outcome of the tribulation and the patience. And it does make reference to grace. And you know, we are saved by grace. It doesn't mean that we grow into grace, but we are saved, then we grow in grace. So once again, once we have been saved, we know that the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by the Lord Jesus Christ. So once we're in Christ and we're growing in Christ, we can be assured that there will be tribulation. But be of good cheer, He has overcome. So we have one that has overcome. His salvation includes rest for the conscience from the guilt of sin. Here's some things that we can rejoice in. Rest for the mind from our doubts and fears and unbelief. I can identify with this. Rest for the will and its restlessness in holy service under his yoke. So as we are in his service, being tested and tried, we know that there is rest in the midst of the storm. Rest for the heart in his love. All these things we have more than to be thankful for. 1991, time is still going on. The Lord has patience. You think upon all those years that he is waiting until the time we will be caught up to be with him. Then time will cease. So once again, he describes himself as our example. I am meek and lowly in heart. He describes his service. My burden is easy. My yoke is easy, sorry, and my burden is light. I was thinking on the aspect there of where it says, my burden is light. I'd just like to make reference to this aspect here. If we could turn to John chapter 3. And reading from verse 19 to verse 21. I believe this is something that we could share in. This may be a different application. I would not like to take it out of context, but I would like to use it as an application. Verse 19 to verse 21. And this is a condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. I'd just like to make reference to that word light, that where it says, he describes his service, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So in one sense, as we take upon the yoke of the Lord Jesus, we could share in the aspect that men love darkness rather than light. So we are sharing in that aspect as we are presenting the light of God's word. And sometimes that's a bit of a struggle within itself, because now we've come into the light, and so it's our opportunity to share that. So we could say as well that our tribulation may come from the source of sharing the light, and that's standing for what is true and right, rather than light as thinking of a load. I just wanted to bring that out at this time. And once again, who are the ones that are invited? We've seen the ones that are laboring and heavy laden. We know that we think upon the aspect of heavy laden as being laden down with sin and guilt, but also there are those that try to do always what is right, and they proclaim that their works do save them. But James says, show me thy faith, and I'll show you my works. And so once again, it would be quite a heavy load to be always striving to be saved rather than resting in his grace and assurance that we are saved and then growing in his grace. And some others that are invited are the sinners. Matthew 9 and verse 13. And those that are thirsty. Isaiah 55 and 1. And whosoever will. Revelation 22 and 17. And when? The invitation is come now, Isaiah 1 and 18. And how? Make haste. Found in Luke chapter 19 and verse 5. So let us accept the invitation. And the other part is let us pass it on to others. There's my presentation that I have prepared to do with the Lord's yoke. And that it is easy. So thank you once again for your time this evening, and maybe we could close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we look to Thee with thanksgiving this evening, thanking Thee once again for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank Thee that He is meek and that He is lowly. We do thank Thee that He is our example as well. As we look into Thy Word this evening, we do thank Thee once again that we have a Savior that is alive and well at Thy right hand. We do look for His return. Once again, we do thank Thee that we can be saved through His grace and what has been accomplished in our behalf. Do return thanks in Christ's name.